Well, please grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 19, verses 28 to 30.
Later, knowing that everything had been finished, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge with it and put the sponge on a stalk of thistle plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
And we pick up our true story with Jesus already on the cross. And the first thing we should see this afternoon is that Jesus is the promised rescuer. Jesus is the promised rescuer. Just have a glance down at verses 28 and 29 with me again in the Bibles. And John, who's writing this, tells us that Jesus says he's thirsty and he gets a drink of sour wine vinegar. And they stick this drink on the stalk of a hyssop plant. So we're getting loads of strange information here from John. And we might think, why are you telling us this? Obviously, Jesus is thirsty. We've just seen in the video, didn't we, how Jesus had to carry the cross himself. And Israel's a pretty hot country. And he's hanging and dying on a cross at the moment. Of course he'd be thirsty. And who cares, John, what type of plant was used to give Jesus the drink? Surely this is all irrelevant. Jesus, the innocent one, is about to die. Tell us more about him, John. Well, that is exactly what John is doing. John is telling us all about Jesus. You see, in the Old Testament, in the Bible, there were loads and loads and loads of promises made by God about someone who's going to rescue and save his people. Here is my Bible box of promises. It is full to the brim of Bible promises. And all of these promises, they tell us about a promised rescuer, even though some of them were written hundreds or even thousands of years before Jesus came down to earth. All of them are about Jesus. Let me show you how many there are. There is a whole pile of promises made about Jesus. And I'm going to need someone's help to go and find some of these promises for me. Yes, come on up. Yeah, come on up. So if you could have a route around in here and find a promise with some words on it, that would be great. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Can you see where that's from? Yeah, brilliant. Thanks. You can go sit down. Thank you very much. We've got a promise from Psalm 22, verse 15. This says, "My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death." And that's what we see in the passage, isn't it? That Jesus is really thirsty. He is in the dust of death. And John wants us to know that this promise is about Jesus, the promised rescuer. Could I have another volunteer to help me get another one? Yes, come on, Jess, thanks. See if you can dig through the pile to find one. Brilliant, thanks. Where's this one from?
Psalm 69:21.
Brilliant, thanks very much, thanks very much. Another one from Psalm 69, verse 21. This says, "They put gall in my foods and gave me vinegar for my thirst." And that's what we see in the passage. They give Jesus vinegar for his thirst, which doesn't really sound very nice. Someone else who's willing to dive in? And yes, come on then. Come to the front. See if you can find one. There's two left in this big pile that I'm trying to find. Can you see them? Have a look around. Have a look around. Oh, yeah, you found a really big one. Well done. Can you lift it up for us? Good job. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Go and sit down. We've got a really big promise here from Exodus. And this says, "Take a bunch of hyssop." Remember that plant? "Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood of the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe, will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down." This is a promise all the way from back in Exodus in the Old Testament, when God rescued his people from Egypt, famously. Maybe you know the story. And he saves his people from death by a sacrifice. The sacrifice's blood is painted over the door frames of their houses using a stalk of hyssop, which is what John tells us about. We've got one life in place of another. And so what John is telling us about Jesus here, we're talking about the hyssop plant, is that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice who saves his people from death. He dies in our place. And we've just got one final promise in my pile. Anyone who's happy to come and get it for us? Yeah, Quinn, come on then, come on up. See if you can see it. I reckon you'll spot it quite quickly. Brilliant. Thanks very much. Where's this one from?
Isaiah 51, verse 22.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Isaiah 51. And this says, "This is what your sovereign Lord, your God who defends his people, says. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup that made you stagger. From that cup, the goblet of my wrath, you will never drink again." I'll pop that down here with the other ones. In the video, when Jesus was in the garden, he prayed about a cup. I don't know if you picked that up. But that sounds a little bit strange. Why is Jesus praying about a cup? It's not to do with his thirst, as some of the other promises are, but it's about the cup of God's wrath, which we read about in Isaiah, which is a picture of God's punishment for sin. You see, every time we do something sinful, when we don't love God or others as we should, a bit more punishment gets added to the cup. It is a little bit like this. Every time we don't live for God or others, a bit more gets added to our cup. A bit more and a bit more until our cups are overflowing with the punishment that we deserve. And we cannot do anything about it. It is true for all of us, whether we're a really big grown-up or whether we're still very small. And the problem is, drinking that ourselves means we face death forever, separated from God and all goodness, in a very real and scary place that the Bible calls hell. What we need is someone to take this cup from us so that we never have to ever drink it. Someone like Isaiah promises us. And the good news that John is getting at is that this person is Jesus. Jesus is the promised rescuer who comes to rescue us. He has come to drink the cup of punishment instead of us. We'll come back to that bit in a moment. But some of these promises on their own, they don't seem all that big, do they? But when we put them together, they show us and they point us to Jesus. A bit like this. When we put them together, they show us and they point us to Jesus. That all of these things show us Jesus, and he fulfills all of them, because he is the promised rescuer that God promises. See, John's really keen for us to know this. He's really keen for us to know that Jesus is not just some good guy who got caught up in all of this. He's not just a good teacher who taught about love, but actually he is the promised rescuer that all of the Bible points to, who dies to rescue his people from sin and from death. And that is really amazing. He is who we've been waiting for. He is who all of us need. And secondly, to finish, we see that Jesus succeeds in rescuing his people. Jesus succeeds in rescuing us. Have a look down at verse 30. Jesus says, "It is finished." This isn't the quiet admission of defeat. It is finished. But it's the loud shout of victory. It is finished! Jesus is declaring that all of his work is done. He's achieved everything he set out to do. All of those old promises about him are completed. It's a little bit like maybe at school when you finish a spellings test, You know you've got 10 out of 10 on. Yes, it's finished. Like running across a finish line in first place at the park run. I've finished. Yes. Maybe even it is like putting in that final brick in the Lego model. It is finished. Yes. How glorious it is. How glorious to finish the things that we, to succeed in the things that we finish. And Jesus is saying here that he has succeeded in rescuing every single human being who trusts in him. So when Jesus succeeds at rescuing his people, it is far more glorious even than Anakin Skywalker's Jedi Starfighter, which I am quite pleased with. But actually, Jesus' achievement is the most glorious achievement in all of human history, and nothing will even come close to matching what Jesus has done. And this is for all of us, whether we're really big, whether we're really little, whether we're anywhere in between those. Do you remember the cup of God's punishment we talked about earlier? Part of this is Jesus saying that he has drunk all of the punishment for his people so that there is nothing left at all. It is a bit like this. Jesus has drunk all of the punishment for all of his people. It is totally gone forever, drained to the bottom. He takes the punishment for his people so that we don't have to. He faces death and hell to rescue us from it. And why does Jesus do this? It is simply because he loves us. That means that on the cross, all of our sin is totally cleansed and wiped away. The sins we might do tomorrow, the sins we might do in 10 years' time, the sins maybe even we did 10 years ago, all of them are gone and cleansed and dealt with. Why? All because Jesus loves us. He loves us enough to die for us. He is the promised rescuer, and he has succeeded in rescuing us. And if we're here today and we want that to be true for ourselves, if we don't want to have to drink that cup of punishment, if we want all of our sins to be forgiven, what we need to do is we need to trust in Jesus and we need to live our lives for him now. He has given his life for us. We've got to live for him now. And the great news is we can be totally, utterly, 100,000,000% sure that Jesus has succeeded, all because of what happens in 3 days' time. And you'll just have to come back on Sunday morning to hear all about that. So Jesus is the promised rescuer who succeeds in rescuing us. So trust that Jesus has rescued you by suffering and dying for you in your place. We'll just take a few moments. And then we'll pray, and then the band will lead us in our final song to close. Dear God, we thank you that it is finished. We thank you that Jesus really was the promised rescuer who definitely 100% succeeded in rescuing us. Please help us to know how much that means. Please help us to be thankful that we do not have to drink that cup of punishment because Jesus has drunk it for us. Please help us to love the Lord Jesus. Please help us to trust in him. Please help us to live our lives in light of what he has done for us. Amen.